Let's all worship this morning with Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Let's sing that again. Holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
There are some of us who are stuck at home, trying to find ways to fill all this space and time we suddenly have. But let's be mindful that there are those of us who don't have this space or the time, where every day is a battle with uncertainty. Every day is a fight. May this next song be a source of hope as we turn to God during these times of struggle. Let's sing, You Are My Hiding Place.
You are my hiding place. let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you.
Let us pray before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be able to gather together again for this service. We thank you that despite all the uncertainties surrounding our world, we're able to stand on the rock, our God. We thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit, who reminds us of your presence in these troubling times. We know that you are in complete control over everything in our lives. So we will continue to look to you for your help, and we will trust you to guide us, provide for our needs, and give us strength and courage, not only to get through our challenges, but also to fulfill your calling for us to be the light for the people around us. We feel blessed to live in a land where we have access to everything we need, but there are your people around the world who are experiencing extremely challenging circumstances. Lord, may your mercy reach them. May they find strength in you. We come before you today with the sole purpose of glorifying your name. As we sing praises to you, as we open your scripture to study your word, and as we lift up our prayers to you, may you be pleased to receive our worship and respond to us. Please be with Daphne as she leads us in praise, and please be with Pastor David. Fill him with your Holy Spirit as he opens up the Bible for us and share with us what you want us to hear and apply to our lives. We lift this time into your hands as we pray all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Our scripture for today is found in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Let's all read together. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Daphne, for reading the scripture for us. And welcome to our virtual worship service as you gather together with your family members, or as some of you, as you enter the virtual worship room and you see who else is worshiping with you. I'm trying to imagine all of you seated at your regular seats here in the sanctuary as we worship this morning. Praise the Lord that through the Spirit we can be joined together. Before I start, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions just to make sure you're awake. Because, you know, when you're going virtual, you could just doze off and you don't have to worry about the pastor pointing you up. But 2 weeks ago, on Easter Sunday, I was sharing a message. And in my message, in both what I said and in the PowerPoint, there was a big mistake. Did anyone catch that? And if you did, I suppose you were too polite to email me to tell me I made a mistake. Did anyone catch that? Well, I mentioned the three Marys who went to the tomb from the Gospel of Mark. That was a mistake. There were two Marys and one Salome. Alright? And the three Marys were the three Marys under the cross of Jesus mentioned in the Gospel of John. So, if you didn't catch that, that's not good. But, alright, so that's the thing I want to start with. Now, I want to start with a second question, and particularly if you're with your family members, and you can kind of ask each other this. Yeah, my second question is about the number 40, which is mentioned a lot in the Bible and quite significant. So I want you again, with the people around you, if you're worshiping with your family, ask your kids where the number 40 appears in the Bible, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. Okay, I'll give you half a minute. It should not be very hard. 40. Could be 40 days. Could be 40 years. Well, did any one of you mention Noah's flood? Not Noah's flood. The flood during Noah's time that lasted 40 days and nights. Think about the life of Moses. His life was divided into chunks of 40. 40 in the courts of Pharaoh, 40 being a shepherd, and 40 to lead the people out of Egypt. 40 days in Mount Sinai receiving the commandments from God. Maybe some of you, of course, now you would have thought of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness by the people of God after they left Egypt. Some of you might have thought of Jonah, when he preached that 40 more days and God will destroy the city of Nineveh, and they all repented amazingly. And moving to the New Testament, immediately you would have thought about Jesus being tempted by Satan after 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. So how did you do? I believe you did well, right? So 40 is actually very significant because it's the number of testing, of waiting, of preparation, and of judgment. So this morning we want to talk about 40 days that changed the world from the book of Acts. And I'm also reflecting on what we've been going through lately. So let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us through His Word, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we come before You, humbly before Your Word, please, through Your Holy Spirit, open Your Word to us. Show us not only what it means, but how it relates to all of us right now. Speak to me and through me, and may Your Word bring not only encouragement to us, but show us the path You want us to be on so that our lives
can honor you. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Another 40 days, which we've just passed, is Lent. We mentioned that. Lent starts on Ash Wednesday, and it goes actually 46 days until Maundy Thursday. They don't count the Sundays. And so this is the period of time we prepare for Jesus' sacrifice and death for us. This is a time we open ourselves to let God point out what's wrong in our life so that we can make those adjustments so that when Good Friday comes, we are really in the right mindset so that we can really celebrate on Easter Sunday and not let this whole period just kind of zip by us because we were too busy doing other stuff. And this Lent, just like this year, is very, very different. There, I'm not going to bore you with the details, but you kind of see the development of the COVID-19 starting from when it appeared in Wuhan, in Wuhan, in the province of Hubei, starting from when the Chinese medical authorities call it novel coronavirus, because it's a new one that they have not encountered before, then the WHO calling it COVID-19, then progressing from a health emergency to a pandemic on declared by WHO on March 11. And all of this, you could say, is happening during Lent, the season of Lent, which started on February 26, Ash Wednesday. And of course, Lent has come and gone. And Easter Sunday, we celebrated 2 weeks ago. That was April 12th. And on April 15th, the number of global COVID-19 cases surpassed 2 million. And it's still going on. How I pray and wish that COVID-19 will just be 40 days too of testing. But that's not the case. How many more 40 days? I'm praying not too many, but God knows. But when I reflect on all this, I thought about another 40 days in Scripture that's actually very important and significant, but is not often mentioned. And that's the 40 days between Easter and when Jesus ascended back to his heavenly Father. 40 days, again, 40 days. And I want to highlight that 40 days, and that's why we've called this message 40 Days That Changed the World. As I've mentioned, the Lent is happening during this COVID crisis, and many people reflected on the spiritual aspects of it, and one Chicago Tribune commentator wrote an article, a piece, entitled "The Coronavirus Pandemic Has Created a Long Global Lent, a Time to Remember What We're Missing." So this is sort of helping me kind of frame today's message, that during this Lent season, we are, in a sense, forced to think about a lot of things we normally would not be thinking of spiritual realities and about God and why suffering and all this kind of things. All right, so this morning, we want to talk about the 40 days that changed the world, that changed the 12 disciples, that changed the original followers of Jesus Christ. And so we go to the book of Acts for that. In the beginning of the book of Acts, the author Luke starts by saying, "In my former book, Theophilus." Former book. So, which one's the former book? Well, it's the Gospel of Luke. And if you keep reading, you'll see that Luke did a lot of research. He was not the first to write the Gospel. There were other Gospels already in circulation, but he did a careful research and he wrote an orderly account. as we will find out. But here in the beginning of Acts, he continues, right? He says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. So part one, the gospel, was all that Jesus taught and did until he ascended to heaven. And of course, Acts part two is what Jesus continued to do through his disciples, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Look at this introduction again in the book of Acts. Here is the only place in Scripture that mentions the 40 days. The 40 days before Jesus went back to his Father. What was he doing? Well, Jesus was giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. He was presenting himself to them, giving many convincing proof that he was alive. And all of this happened over a period of 40 days when Jesus taught his disciples about many, many things. And so, Luke Acts, you could say, is a two-volume work. The former, the Gospel of Luke, is what Jesus did and taught until he ascended back to the Father. The latter, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, is about what Jesus continued to do after he ascended to the Father through his disciples as they were filled by the Holy Spirit. All right. So we ask then, why must Jesus stay another 40 days? He has already spent 3 years. He has already completed the work of dying for mankind on the cross. Why tarry 40 more days? Well, from this passage, we see that he stayed another 40 days for at least these three important things. The first one is to convince his disciples that he was really alive. That though he had been killed on the cross, crucified on the cross, he had really come back to life physically, that they were not seeing a ghost, as we'll see soon. All right, so that needs convincing, that needs proofs. And so he was doing this during those 40 days to his closest disciples. The second reason Jesus remained was to command his disciples to do what? To wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit before they preach the gospel to everyone. All right? So I want you to notice the sequence. The command was first, don't do anything. Wait for the promised Holy Spirit. And then once the Holy Spirit come upon you and you have his power, then you are commanded to go and preach the gospel to everyone. That was the second reason. The third reason was Jesus needed to clarify or correct some of the disciples' wrong ideas about Jesus the Messiah and the kingdom of God. So let's briefly look at each one of these. During those 40 days, Jesus appeared multiple times to his disciples, sometimes solo to one disciple, sometimes to a few of them, and sometimes up to more than 500 at the same time. Why did he do this? Well, if you look at what Paul wrote, he wrote, Christ died for our sins in 1 Corinthians 15. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. And he appeared to Cephas, Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living. Then he appeared to James. This is his earthly brother who became the leader of the Jerusalem church. And then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also. Of course, for Paul, this is past the 40 days, right? All these appearances, why did Jesus need to do that? Well, one way for us to answer this question is to ask, what kind of changes do we see in Jesus' disciples after those 40 days? What kind of changes? They were very, very dramatic and drastic. Before they were afraid, they were in hiding, they were hiding behind locked doors, they were discouraged and disillusioned. But after those 40 days, they were fearless. They were bold, and from last Sunday's message, they were not only willing to face ridicule and imprisonment, even beatings. Like Stephen, many of them were willing to give up their life, if necessary, in order to accomplish this mission that Jesus has given them, to preach the gospel to the people around them. So, how did such dramatic turnaround come about? Well, I believe it's that these numerous appearances of Jesus to his disciples finally convinced them that he was alive and that they were not just seeing a ghost or apparition. Jesus was alive in his new resurrected body. Remember, he can just show up without going through the door. He could just show up suddenly and he could just disappear. And yet he could also eat a meal with them. All right. So after they were so convinced, that changed them. So we see that in Peter's powerful sermon that he preached on the day of Pentecost, we see this. Peter was preaching. He says, "This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised Jesus from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." This is how sure and convinced they are. And that made a world of difference. The second thing Jesus wanted to do was to command his disciples to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Not to do anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon them, which is their source of power. And so you will see the two verses here. Jesus says in Acts 1:4 to the disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for my gift, the gift my Father promised you, which I have spoken to you a lot about." And in Luke 24, Jesus says, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is very, very important. This sequence is very, very important, right? Don't do anything until you have the power that I promised you, the Holy Spirit. And of course, once they have that, then they're commanded to preach to everyone about the good news that Jesus is alive, that he has the power to forgive sins. All right. So the second command we are quite familiar with. We see it in Acts 1:8, where Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's the second reason Jesus remained for another 40 days. The third reason was to clarify or correct the disciples' wrong ideas about Jesus, the Messiah. Pastor Charlie has mentioned this a lot. They were looking for a political Messiah that's going to lead them to defeat Rome and throw off the oppression of Rome and restore the kingdom of Israel to its glorious days under King David and King Solomon. That's who they were expecting. But Jesus had to correct that misconception, because this Messiah is a suffering servant. And there are many passages, but let's review by looking at Isaiah 53:8-11, and I'll just read part of that. It says, "For the transgression of my people, this servant was punished. It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord make his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand, and after he has suffered, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. This was the mission of the Messiah, not a political one, but a spiritual one. And related to this, Jesus also wanted to clarify and correct the disciples' wrong ideas about the kingdom of God. He wants them to know that it's not a geopolitical or a military power base, but a spiritual kingdom. It's all about the forgiveness of sins. It's about lives being transformed through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit. And it's all about the gospel preached to all nations, where the Gentiles will be invited to be a full participant in this kingdom of God. All of that in those 40 days. To convince the disciples he is really alive, that they're not seeing ghosts, because, you know, he ate with them. And if you look at some of the passages, Jesus will say, look at my hand, my feet. Why? Because the holes that the nails, the spike made, are still there. And Jesus even asked them, come, you can feel it, you can touch it. Use your senses. I'm not a ghost. Jesus ate with them. I mean, you know, he took in the fish, the drinks, the bread. So finally they were convinced, this is no apparition, this is no ghost. Okay, so that's the first thing, to convince disciples he's really alive. Then Jesus commanded them to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit and then to go and preach the gospel to everyone when they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus then clarified and corrected their wrong ideas about him as the Messiah. Indeed, he was the Messiah, but the restoration of this political, geographical thing is not for now. It's for later on. And the kingdom of God now is a spiritual thing, all about bringing people into the kingdom of God to understand that Jesus has died for their sins. Okay, so from here, I want to ask us now, how does this relate to us right now, as we are going through this very, very unusual and very trying circumstances? Well, I think the first thing is we ask ourselves this morning, we don't know how long this COVID-19 thing will carry on, but this morning, where we're at, are we convinced that Jesus Christ is alive? Are we convinced of that? I pray that in this 40 days after Easter, we will be convinced. Or we will tell ourselves, well, if I'm convinced about this, how does that affect my day-to-day life right now as I'm cloistered at home with everybody working at home, or as I have to go to work and face the risks, or as I'm facing hardship, financial hardships or emotional hardships? How does the reality that Jesus is alive impact me today? There's so many things that could be said, but Gloria and William Gator wrote a song many years ago, many decades ago, and it's still such a powerful song, and the song is Because He Lives. Because if we are utterly convinced that Jesus Christ is alive, this is what will happen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And no matter how difficult life may be, no matter what I'm facing, life is worth the living just because Jesus is alive. And I trust that this reality will lead you to be able to sing this wonderful chorus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. So that's the first point I want us to reflect on. The second point is, during these 40 days after Easter, Are we going to be obedient to Jesus' command? And very often we are quick to say, yes, we need to share the gospel with others around us, with the people at work, or with the people we're touching base with virtually. But let's not forget the sequence, right? We are to share, yes, but we must first be empowered by God's Holy Spirit. Don't try to do it on your own. I should not do it if the Holy Spirit is not powering what I'm saying, my interactions with others, in the right sequence. Definitely, we should obey this command, but wait for the Holy Spirit to fill us. A very practical thing is, He is the Holy Spirit, and if we are not holy, He cannot fill us. If there is sin, if there is darkness in our lives, Holy Spirit cannot fill us. And how do we do that? Well, we have to fill ourselves with the words of God, the thoughts of God, and anything that's not right, we need to deal with them. We need to repent and confess them. And as we get rid of these things, sin in our lives, then the Holy Spirit can take more of us. And then we can, in a very relaxed way, just let our lives be a testimony to others. And along that line, we ask ourselves, so who is our Jerusalem? I mean, the people right around us, especially if you are at home and you're with all your family members. And if there are family members who are not believers yet, well, that's your Jerusalem. Let's ask ourselves, who is our Judea and Samaria, the people a little bit further out of your immediate circle? How are you going to let them know that Jesus Christ has not only made a difference in your life, but He can also make a difference in their lives? And of course, Jesus asked them to go to the ends of the earth, but I want to remind myself and all of us that the people from the ends of the world have all come to us now. So even if we don't, and we can't travel right now anyway, they have come to us. By the way, today is the start of Ramadan season. 30 days of fasting and praying for our Muslim friends. And many Christians use this 30 days to really pray that as these people who really want to seek God are praying and fasting, that the Lord Jesus will reveal Himself to them, as He has been doing very often, especially as God's people pray. So I want to encourage you to even think about our neighbor here as they observe Ramadan in a very different way, that all of this will kind of shake up some of their thoughts and their practices, cause them to ask questions, cause them to seek for God, and as we pray, God will reveal Himself to them. All right. So are we obedient to the command? And the last thing I want us to reflect on is, what wrong ideas about the Messiah or God's kingdom do we have? Right? I mean, Jesus already taught His disciples for 3 years, especially the 12. I mean, He was with them most of the time, and they still couldn't quite get it straight. So how could we feel bad if we don't get it straight? Right? So there might be some wrong ideas about God's kingdom that we have. Hopefully, we've got it straight that Jesus was a suffering servant. He didn't come to rule politically. He came to die for the sins of others. So hopefully that's sort of out of the way for most of us. But how about some wrong ideas about God's kingdom? And I want to bring us into one particular area this morning. And to do that, I want to talk about the last days and end times, as it's mentioned in the Bible. I want us to make sure we've got the right knowledge from Scripture about the end times. All right. So the first thing I want to say is that when Jesus came the first time, he kicked off or inaugurated the last days or end times. And we see this in various scripture. 1 Peter 1:20, God chose Jesus as your ransom long before the world began, but he has now revealed Jesus to you in these last days. So when Jesus first came, he started the last days. Hebrews 1:2, long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. All right. So the first thing I want us to get correctly is that the first time Jesus came, he started the last days or the end times. And this is why we often say that the kingdom of God, to be in God's kingdom, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, is to feel the tension between the already and not yet. Jesus has already come. He has already brought God's blessing and forgiveness, but it's not completely finished yet because he needs to come a second time. Already, not yet. And so the thought here is, the Jewish thought is, there's the present age and the age to come. Present age, age to come. But with the coming of Jesus the first time, the two ages kind of got mixed up together already. And this is why we have the already and not yet. All right? And so this day that Jesus has already come is what we read about in Scripture. But that day, the second coming, is the next thing that will happen. You can say the next thing on God's agenda for his kingdom people is Jesus Christ will come the second time. And right now, we are not completely in the present age anymore. The age to come has started, but it has not completely come upon us yet. And each day brings us closer to that day, to the end, to the end times. And so Christ's return, Scripture is very clear, Christ's return can happen any moment. And I guess the fancy term is, it's imminent. It can happen any moment. And so King James says it's at hand. Some translations, it's coming soon, or it's closer than ever before. We need to be very aware of this. And so with this kind of framework in mind, I just want to share a few scripture about the end times or the last days. And I won't comment too much. I will trust that you will pray this prayer as we look at it. You'll pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, open my eyes so that I can see what's happening around me in light of your imminent return. Maybe Robert can help me. I'm stuck here. Right. So the first scripture is from 2 Timothy 3, 1-4. It talks about, well, I'll read it. And I'll just read it to you. And you pray that God will show you how what's happening around us is related to the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people." Of course, what's on the news a lot is this very tragic and brutal killing in Nova Scotia. Well, as I read this passage and I look at the news, what does that tell me about the imminent return of Jesus Christ? Okay, let me go to the next scripture now. That's from Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, here's the background. It says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and they say, tell us, teacher, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? That whole chapter is about, it's Jesus answering their question. Let me just highlight a few things here from verses 10 to 14. All right? From 10 to 14. And I'll go to the next slide because it will kind of show it a bit larger. Disciple asked Jesus, and here is part of Jesus' answer to them. Jesus answered, at that time, many will turn away from the faith. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And listen to this. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. I trust that as you read this, you will recall one of the main reasons Jesus stayed behind for another 40 days was to command his disciples to do what? To wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit to empower them and then to take this gospel to the whole world. One more scripture. In that same chapter of Matthew, Jesus says, about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Wow. So Jesus says, when I'm about to come back, it's going to be like the days of Noah. And the people were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Actually, that's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. I think what Jesus meant, they will just carry on as they normally do. Even though Noah was building this thing called boat, because they've never seen rain before up to that point. So they just carried on, even though Noah keeps saying, you know, you got to get ready and join me in this ark. What does that tell me? What does that tell you? For sure, I trust that we will not be the group of people that knew nothing about what would happen. The fact that I'm sharing all this scripture with you, and I'm encouraging you to reflect on that, is to make sure that we will not be caught unaware. What's happening? And two more. In the Gospel of Luke, it's very interesting. Jesus first again compared the days when just before he comes back, like the days of Noah. So it's kind of a repeat of Matthew. But Jesus also added, and it was the same in the days of Lot. And here you can see now people were also buying and selling, planting and building. So again, there's nothing wrong with all of this. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So once again, the people were totally ignorant of the fact that judgment was coming. They carried on as usual, and then it came upon them suddenly, and they were caught totally unprepared. The last verse, all right, so note these verses. Take time to read them, reflect on it, and ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. Lord, as I look at what's happening around me and I look at your word, what are you trying to tell me? So this is the last scripture. 1 Peter 4:7-10. Peter writes, "The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another." So perhaps as you reflect on this, the Holy Spirit might remind you that you have been given lots of gifts, and it's time for you to use your gifts to serve the body of Christ. So there are many things. So I'm very excited to see what the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to. So as I conclude this morning, we started by looking at this idea of 40 days of testing, preparation, of judgment, and repenting and turning back to God. We looked at the 40 days of Lent this year, where it's kind of overshadowed with the COVID-19 pandemic superimposed on it. We've arrived at Easter. We looked at the 40 days after Easter, the first Easter. And we are right now in that period of time, right? And I believe what Jesus stayed behind to do, He wants to do with us these 40 days, these next 40 days. And the question is, are we going to be responsive to it, or are we just going to ignore it? The question is, will we cooperate with the risen Lord as He walks with us and works with us and works on us these 40 days? And if we say yes, here are the three things. Be convinced that Jesus is alive. He's at work. He is in control. He's fulfilling his plans and purpose for you and me in our world. The second thing is, we need to obey His command to share the gospel with those in our circle of influence after we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the third thing is, if we have any wrong ideas, or if we have not been reflecting on what Jesus taught us about the last days, the end times, it's a good time to do that, so that we will not be like the people in Noah's day and Lot's day, where they just carry on life as usual, as, you know, as normal, totally unaware that God's judgment is about to fall on them. So, what will this next 40 days after Easter be for you and for me? I trust that they would be very, very significant 40 days, just like it was for the disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You that Jesus, You tarried for another 40 days because there was still some very important things You needed to do. And we are in that period right now. For those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, may we allow You to guide us, to teach us, to correct our misconceptions so that we are not ignorant of what's going on from Your perspective. And if there are some who don't know You, Lord, may we not also keep putting it off. And help all of us to be filled with Your Holy Spirit so that we can share this good news with the people around us. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all now respond with, "You are my all in all." You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all.
seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Welcome to our online service. We are very glad that you joined us. I want to introduce you to something that some of you might already know, but many of you may not. It's called a virtual worship room. And basically what it is that it is a virtual meeting room where brothers and sisters can come and join. And you can actually see them on the screen, and we can have a fellowship with one another after the service. The group called a small group has actually started this meeting in this room, and we all joined them together on Sundays. Now it's sort of expanded to, we can accommodate up to 100 people. So if you're really interested, you could just log on and join us. We'll be able to send you the link and information that you need so that you can join our Zoom worship room. And as you know, the worship room, worship time starts at 10:45 a.m. and 4:45 p.m. We greatly appreciate your patience as we adapt to our new norms. You're also invited to join us for our virtual prayer meeting every Wednesday at 8 p.m. It is also through Zoom. And the link and the prayer and intercession set, our intercession sheet, is sent to you by us by Wednesday afternoon if we have your email. And thank you so much for continuing to worship and honor the Lord through your tithes and offering. Now there are three ways for you to be able to give tithes and offerings to the church. First is mailing and dropping off your checks at the church. And second is online through a charitable foundation using your credit card. And now through e-transfers. That is available. The instruction is this way. Go to our website and go to About Us. Drop down to the bottom and click Give for instructions on giving through the credit card or through e-transfer. We value your feedback regarding today's worship service. As you're using email to keep you informed, please send us your email if you're not on our email list. And remember to check our website regularly for the latest news and announcements. Our condolences to the family of Rosalinda Teodoro in her passing away on April 20th at the age of 71. May the Lord comfort the bereaved family during their time of grief. Memorial service for family members will take place this Friday, May 1st at 2 p.m. from Richmond Funeral Home. We'll inform you via email once the details of the live stream memorial service is available. The bereaved family requests that memorial contributions be made to the Fujian Evangelical Church. Finally, let me share with you an announcement from our consistory. First, we thank the Lord for His gracious provision through your sacrificial giving during these difficult times. For the first 3 months of 2020, we're operating only at a small deficit of $15,113. As we continue to trust the Lord to provide for us in this new normal, the consistory in its stewardship is committed to keep our staff employed during this pandemic, and we thank them. While we embrace a certain resilience and practicality, more importantly, the consistory has adopted the recommendation of our finance team, revising the 2020 budget from $876,000 to $600,000, which is reduction of 31%. This adjustment mainly comes from deferring previously planned capital expenditures from 2020 to 2021, except for essential repairs, obviously, and rescheduling the short-term mission projects, both English and Chinese, until the health authorities have given the green light for international travel to resume. Reducing the cost of facility upkeep is another one, resulting from the suspension of all church activities and adapting the summer conferences to more appropriate venues. Now, if you would join us for doxology, let us all stand if you are able. Let's sing a song together. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of our God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be upon all of us, both now until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you, and may He keep you throughout the week.